I want to take you to another passage. We're going to refer to the passage that was read earlier, later on in the message, but I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you have it, to Ephesians chapter 2. I think you've probably read it before. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read the whole passage, and you he made alive in the King James, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in the flesh the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. May God add his blessing to his word. I've entitled this passage, Reaching Beyond the Walls. I believe that we as Christians are often, we forget where we came from and who we are. When we realize, or the more we realize who we are and who we need to be, we will find it easier to go back to minister and share Jesus Christ with those who are lost and need to believe. The more that we forget our past life without Jesus, the more walls that we build up around ourselves, we can put up and block the others out. And I'm not suggesting for even a moment that we should dwell on our past sin. But I'm suggesting that we need to remember where we came from. And I think that the Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesian church this. And when we look in at the world around us today, and as our brother presented the word last night, and presented the way the world is, and the way our government is, the way our country is, the way U.S. and Canada are, yes, the first thing we can do is pray, and pray that we have a revival across Canada and across North America. But going from there, we need to realize that we are to be part of the Great Commission. And so then we put our prayers into the leather that's on our boots and begin to present Jesus Christ to that lost world around us. So I have a main thought. When the church has no walls, the fulfilling of the Great Commission is at its best. Now, first of all, you got to understand that this is not the church that I'm talking about. And incidentally, I enjoy and appreciate the way you've renovated your building. The church is those that believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The church is you and I. And when the church, us, have no walls of between us, the fulfilling of the Great Commission is at its best. The job of the believer is not to just maintain their church life as we know it. Think about it. The job of the believer is not to just maintain church life as we know it. Churches who maintain their church life quickly become complacent. They quickly become very satisfied with where they're at and don't care as time goes on about the real issues at hand. And that's the lost that are all around us. Those kind of people that we were talking about last night. Some churches continually add programs and are always up to date. And that can be good. And they have the very best of programs and the very best of music. But they become also very satisfied with where they're at in what they're doing in their church body. And they're the kind that will start to think, and they might even say it, we know how to do church life. And you know, folks, the older I get, and the more experience I have behind me, the more I realize that I don't know how to do church life. If I'm really honest about it. Because God is in control, and life as a Christian is ever changing. God's Word is never changing. So our main thought, when the church has no walls, the fulfilling of the Great Commission is at its best. And I have 2 points under this main thought. Number one, know who you are and remember where you came from. Know who you are and remember where you came from. I coined a saying. I think it's my original. Maybe I picked it up from somebody else. I don't know. But I coined a saying quite a number of years ago. And maybe you've heard me say it. Some of you have been at some of our fundraising banquets, and I think I've preached here once or twice before. I at least have spoken here when we had the inter-church village missions programs. But the saying is this: we need to keep a good balance in our life, our Christian life, and the saying is this: you need to realize on the one hand, I need to realize on the one hand where I came from, who I am, and that's a dirty, rotten sinner. But on the other hand, to keep a good balance, I need to realize that I've got Jesus in my life. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. And I'm a child of the King. Amen. And so when we have a good understanding of both of them and we keep them and don't forget about one or the other, we will keep a balance in our Christian life. Knowing where we came from and who we really are without Jesus Christ helps to keep us humble. Dirty, rotten sinner I am. I don't deserve the job that I have as a pastor. I don't deserve the job that I have as executive director. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But the more and more I live for Jesus, I realize that He's called me to be here. And that calling is what holds me in doing what I'm doing today. But I need to remember, Murray Graham is a dirty, rotten sinner without Jesus Christ. But with Jesus Christ, I'm an heir. I'm a child of the King. That's awesome. Never forget that. I believe that the first century Ephesian Christians, for some reason, Paul was telling them, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." I memorized that in the King James many years ago. "And you has he made alive who were dead spiritually." I think they probably had started to forget where they'd come from. And they possibly were forgetting that and taking for granted who they were in Christ. It's okay to be confident in Christ. That's okay. But don't forget where you came from. This is an awesome passage. But read it like you're part of it. Maybe we need to remember more and more where we came from. And maybe there might be somebody here today that has never known Jesus Christ. Well, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. If you don't know Jesus Christ, read that. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And it's a beautiful portion of Scripture. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And he's talking to Christians, but you, if you don't know Jesus, you can be saved by just plain believing. You don't have to pay anything. By faith, we believe. It's nothing we can do. Second point, take all the walls of distraction down so you can reach out to the lost and they can reach into you. Take all the walls of distraction down so you can reach out to the lost and they can reach in to you. Verse 14 to 18. Ephesian Christians, I think, had lost some of them, not all of them. There's always good people in every congregation, and then there's others that lose their focus. Ephesian Christians, I think some of them had probably lost their focus, or at least they had forgotten, and they were now putting up walls. Well, I'm circumcised. Well, I'm not. I don't think you really have to be, do you? And just over such a small thing, but mind you, if you were a Jew, that's a big thing. They were creating walls between themselves. Now, we've come a long ways from that. But they had to have Acts chapter 15. They had to have the first church council to get some of these things straightened out between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. They'd lost their focus, some of them. They were putting up walls between each other. Walls of lack of communication. And it was stopping their communication with each other, and no doubt stopping their communication with reaching out to the lost. Paul was telling them that really none of this type of stuff mattered. It was creating division among them, and the division that the blessed, and I got in quotations here, blessed Jews had between them and the heathen Gentiles was evident. It was a wall before the Gentiles could enter into the commonwealth of Israel, and it was supposed to be gone, but it wasn't. Now, none of us are Jews, as far as I know, but we're from the Gentiles. That's, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And yet, if I understand Scripture right, as Gentiles, when we become a Christian, we are grafted into the tree. Grafted into the tree. But I want you to think about this for a moment as an illustration about communicating to each other and communicating to those that are around us. Do you have walls between you and your wife? Do you have walls between you and your neighbor? Do you have walls between you and other people in the church? Do you have walls between you and other churches? You and the community and the neighbor? I don't know. I don't know any of you well enough, except for Gordon and Val, that I could answer that question. But I want to tell you that I know that walls block the communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Village missions as an organization, very easy to create walls if we make the wrong moves. And I want you folks to know that Henry, who you dearly love, the more I get to know him, and I talk to him at least once a week and sometimes three times a day, he's a guy who loves to break down the walls. He's a good man. Pray for him. Pray for us. As Village Missions goes forward, we need to keep those walls that stop communication down. Village missions can create walls. An individual church can have all kinds of walls that stop you from reaching your community. Individuals can do that same thing with each other. We can't afford, if we want the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forward, we can't afford to put up walls around us. Last night you talked about the gays, and I appreciate what you said. Sin is sin, but we need to love those people. That's what you said, and I agree with that. Sin is sin, but we still need to love those people. They can tell if you don't love them. They can tell. And if you want to reach the world around us for Jesus Christ, we have to be that kind of person that has no walls around us. Now let me be ever so clear. The scripture must not be minimized. God's word is the same yesterday, today, what's the rest of it? And forever. And don't you ever forget it. Don't change God's word so that you can have more people come into your church, into this building. Because then you wouldn't be presenting the gospel. God's word is absolute truth. Solid as a rock. But on the other hand, as we reach out to the community at large, we need to be absolutely know and understand that we need to keep those walls between us down so that we can reach them freely and they can freely reach back to us, to Jesus Christ, to the cross, to the church, you who believe. And as they find Jesus Christ, they will become one of you. They will become part of the church. You, his people. So in conclusion, know who you are and remember where you came from. Number two, take all the walls of distraction down so you can reach out to the lost and they can reach in to you and through you they will find Jesus Christ. Because that's the way he designed it. Now, number three is the last part, and I'm going to read it again. It's the last part of the chapter. In our conclusion, verse 19 down. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. There's only one thing I'm going to say about that last portion of scripture there. Never forget that Jesus is the chief cornerstone.